Family. What are your thoughts when you hear this word? Dinners, birthday parties, graduations, and weddings? Do you think of love, intimacy, and laughter? Or do you think of pain, absence, and conflict? Whatever your thoughts are, family was God's idea. His desire is for you to join His vibrant and growing family. A family marked by sacrifice and acceptance. Marked by diversity and unity. Marked by an eternal significance. A family like that would be no ordinary family.
Good morning. Good morning. It's kind of weird walking up. Y'all are so quiet. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Whose idea was to cook all this bacon? Glenn and Kyle's not here. I know they're watching too because they're going to critique what I'm saying. Wonder if I did this right, but I'm going to just show them what they're missing. Where's the camera at? Is that right there? It's Father's Day. I'm going to enjoy it. Y'all did. I was rushed this morning coming in, finding a mic and all that. I want some bacon, too. How do we fit? Oh, look at this. Someone made these little cracker things with the bacon on it. Who ate some of these? Are they good? Someone said they're spicy. They're not too spicy. I saw the jalapeno. Stayed away. I got to preach. I'm like, no, that wouldn't be good. Anyway. Well, all right, Colin, Glenn, you don't know what you're missing out. Just saying. I'm going to give this to Olivia. So, because she was eyeballing my bacon over there. And so, I don't know if that was a good idea or not. It stuck to my teeth. No, that was some good. Thank you for that. You know, churches sometimes get it, you know, Mother's Day, here's what happens on Mother's Day. It's always like flowers are handed out and all this stuff is done on Mother's Day. At our church, we had this big Mother's Day set up that my wife and some other ladies. And then sometimes what happens in churches is that on Father's Day, we like to hound on dads. Here's what type of dad you should be, or here's the type of husband you should be, right? And it's something like, oh, here's another Father's Day sermon, right? Well, I want to tell you that I promise I'm not going to do that too much. If the Bible does that, that's the Bible, all right? First thing. Number two, I didn't get to select what part of the sermon series I'm preaching. It just happened to be about marriage, okay? So there you go. And so that's what I'm preaching this morning. Why family? I think this is a great series for this time. Especially in today's world, okay? So if you're sitting here, you are sitting here, but those of you that are sitting here and you're not married, okay, this is still for you, okay? Maybe there's some teenagers in here, right? One day you're going to find that godly woman, that godly man, and you're going to fall in love with them, and you need these scriptures. You need this, and it's better to learn these now, okay? Like, I'm looking at my daughter, okay? Like, I'm talking to Olivia that this is what you use when you want to find a godly man long time from now, okay? Way down the road. But she needs to know, like, right now. She needs to know, okay? So if you're not married, maybe you're engaged right now, okay? This is it. You know, maybe you're thinking about marriage. This is for us, okay? Maybe say, you know what? I'm done with marriage. You know, there's married people around you. And there's some of us that are finishing strong. And guess what? Our church needs solid marriages that are finishing strong. And you need to pour into them. We need mentors. Marriages like ours, we've been married for 24 years. right? 24. I got it right, Kim? Going to be 24. All right, hold on. Let's do that again. We've been married for 24 years. Yeah, come on. Let's give it up. Come on, man. You know how hard it is to stay married sometimes? Is it not hard? Is marriage easy? No, it's not easy. It's tough. Marriage is hard. How many times do we feel like just thrown in the towel in our marriage? We do. It ain't perfect. Why? Because we're imperfect people. You walked into an imperfect church. There ain't one person in here that's perfect. And your husband and wife is not perfect. They're going to let you down, right? They have. I've let her down a lot. That's why it's hard to stand up here and preach this sermon to you. So if you feel like your toes have been stepped on, mine have been stepped on a whole lot, all right? And so, but, hey, another thing I just want to tell you guys is strong marriages make strong churches. And I'm thankful for this church because I know they believe in their married people ministry here. It's essential, okay? Let's dig in. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, okay? Ephesians chapter 5. And if you have a device, okay, now I don't normally preach out of this version Bible. It's the CSB, okay, CSB as in boy, okay, version. I normally don't, but the only reason why I did is because it's camo and it's Father's Day. And I'm like, I'm going to use my camo Bible, you know. Not only that, I think I need a new Bible to preach out of because the words keep getting smaller. And these, and this, it gets kind of dark in here, and these words kind of pop off the page at me, so it's really easy to read. But Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're going to be at. It's Father's Day. Husbands, sometimes you get home, and I do it. My wife's going to be looking at me funny, but I'm thankful for the lights. I can't see her face. Sometimes we get home or we sit down and she starts talking to me, right? And she goes, "You're not even listening, are you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm listening." "No, you're not. What did I just say?" I'm like, "Well," and you know, sometimes, hey, guys, right? Hey, just get to the point. Am I right? Hey, get to the point. You know, guys, am I the only one? Am I the only one? Here we go. Just get to the point. So I'm going to just get to the point with you. Guys, if you don't hear anything else, because us guys, we got short attention span. I say us. I'm with you, okay? All right? I could be long-winded at times, but my attention span is short, okay? If you know, I got to do a better job at listening, okay? Confession number one, okay? My wife's going to bring that up one day in an argument, okay? But listen to this, all right? I'm going to sum up the whole sermon right now, guys. In case you miss out, here it is, Ephesians 5:33. Ephesians 5:33, and he even says, to sum up, get to the point. Let me sum up. Each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. That's it. That's the whole sermon. We go eat more bacon if we need to and talk about that. Huh? No, I'm playing. We got to talk about some things. Hopefully there's more bacon out there. Did y'all put that up already? No, thank you very much. All right. Because they're an invitation, I'm going to go out there and, yeah, y'all could take care of that part. Hey, listen, y'all threw me with bacon, right? You should never have had bacon up here. I can't take my money. It was some good stuff. Anyway, to sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. That's it. You know what? Before we dig in, because now we're going to go back to verse 21 and work our way there, okay? Well, the reason why I wanted to start there, because we got to understand how us husbands and wives are wired. Men and women are wired differently, okay? Now, those of you that came to our married people gathering here back in November, we talked about that. Kim and I talked about that, that part. And so if you read the book, Love and Respect, you know what this is going to talk about. So men are wired differently than women. We all know that. Women were created, they're wired to they want to be loved, right? They want to be loved. And so naturally, what do they show? They show love. Men are wired to want respect, you know? So guess what? Men dish out a little bit more than love is respect, because That's what we desire. And so that's what we give. And so that's why God, that's why Paul writes here in Ephesians that women, I know you know how to love, but you need to respect your husband. And men, I know you know how to respect. At least we should, right? We should. But your wife not only needs respect, because each spouse needs love and respect. But I need you to make sure to love her, not just respect her. To love her. Because that's what she needs. And see, men get respect, women get love, and we have to learn to speak that love language. How many of you read the book, Five Love Languages, huh? Pretty cool book. There's all kind of book on marriage. Love and respect is a great one. Get it. You know what I do now when I read? Sometimes if it's a long book, and when Kyle said, hey, we're doing love and respect, and he didn't give me much time to read the book, so I got on Audible, and it was playing. It read the book out to me while I was following along. You know, if you say, man, I don't read, well, play something where it's going to read to you and follow along. You get to stop it, highlight, make notes, and then start again. And you can make it where the dude talks faster, too. You know? I mean, like, if you can do that. So I couldn't talk too fast for me. Sometimes women talk really fast. My wife said, are you listening? I'm like, oh, slow down. Words per minute, man. I'm tired. Slow. One thing at a time. You know? Anyway, I'm not the only one, I can tell. So, let's go back to verse 21, because this is the context of all of this, okay? It's the context. Verse 21, submitting to one another in fear of Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it's talking about how we walk. It's our walk in Christ, our walk with Christ. Okay, I didn't put this on the screen. Just listen. 5:1, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. It's our walk. So later on in 21, it tells us to submit to each other. That's not just husbands and wives. That's just Christian brothers and sisters. That's the church, to submitting to one another. No one above anyone else, to submit, to serve each other, to placing others above you, okay? So with that context, then we get to verse 22. And I get the weirdest look from when I do premarital counseling for the future bride sitting in front of me, and I read this verse here, okay? All right. And I like to do it because I like to see the reactions that they get. Because verse 22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And you get the weird look. What? Submit, especially if they don't really know the verse and what it means, you know, and you have to start from the very beginning. Submit to your husband. You know, that's not taught. It's not natural. We have to submit. Women, ladies, we have to learn to submit to our husbands. And we're going to read through this, okay? And if you want to be a kingdom wife and you want to be a godly bride, the Bible talks about submitting. For your marriage to work, you have to learn to submit. Let's read through that. Now remember, that submit part is out of respect. Verse 33 tells us, women, respect your husbands. Husbands, love your wife. And because women, we're going to respect that, we also submit. So why do we have to submit? Let's read on. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives are to submit to their husbands in everything, it says. So what does that mean? Wives, you have to place yourself under the legitimate authority of who? It's also God. Now, we're going to get to the guys, but I'm going to throw this out there, guys. Listen. I'm just saying this right up front. Men, husbands, you can't ask your wives to submit to you if you're not following the God the way you should be. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're not following Jesus, don't expect your wife to be a godly wife and submit to you. Okay? We're going to come back to that. All right? So, ladies, as you submit, you're submitting to God, but you're also submitting to the husband that God put as the head of the home. We have it reversed sometimes. Some of us, our marriages are reversed, where our wives call all the shots in the family and the husband just follows along and doesn't do anything but just go to work and make the money. But God didn't create the marriage to be like that. Now, he created the marriage for the husband to be the head. And for some of us, I'm going to say not us, I'm not a wife, but for some wives, we have to step down from that spot and place our husband there so we can follow. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, I don't want any elbowing in this message, right? No elbowing. You promise me? All right? Don't be throwing darts. Don't be looking at each other like, you know, all crazy-eyed. You're like, I told you, you know. We don't want none of that. But for some of us, for some wives, we got to step down. And you mean well, because you want things to be done like this, this, this. And I get it. But there's some decisions that belong to the husband. But guys, you got to be willing to step up to that plate. You got to be willing to step up as a husband, as a father. You see, a wife is equal to the husband. Just because you're submitting doesn't mean you're not equal. Let's look at Genesis 1:27. This was our camp verse, by the way. And man, I just wanted, while I'm here, we had an awesome week at camp. I was really tired walking in. Man, I was so tired. And then my daughter had a softball tournament yesterday. It was a Father's Day softball tournament in LaPorte. And man, it's been hot. Come back from camp. You know, we take our students to the same camp y'all go to. Matter of fact, Glenn took us to camp on the Lifeway bus. So I'm so thankful for that. We took 36th through 12th grade students to camp. And it was such a beautiful experience. I've got to witness 5 of my students give their life to Jesus. No? Amen? You know, I'm not going to embarrass her, but one's sitting here this morning, and I was so excited to see her. That 5 young men and women made the best decision. They crossed from death to life. 4 of them was on Monday night and at camp in Miles Center, the big arena, or the where we gathered to hear the preaching. We had their AC went out in there. It was hot, yeah. I want to tell you something. Jesus moved that night because 40 students that night got saved. 4 of ours, despite how hot it was. I mean, it was a sweaty mess in there. I mean, you think about 750 students gathered in one roof all together, and we're sweating. You know, I mean, it's gross. Armpit sweat all over the place. I mean, we're like this. I'm going to just tell you. And you know what happened? Those students, it didn't matter. God still moved. And I told one person that worked there as I'm encouraging him. He said, man, a lot went on this week at camp, and it did. A lot of stuff happened there at camp that behind the scenes, they had a rough week. The camp staff had a rough week, and he was just like, he was feeling it. Actually, he was the dude driving the boat that pulls our students on a banana boat. So we're out in the lake and having this conversation, and this grown man is crying because how hard it is while he's driving, pulling our kids on a banana boat. And I said, well, let me tell you what happened in our church time. And I'm telling him, and he's crying. He goes, I really needed to hear that. And I said, man, God spoke. And I said, despite how hot it was, I mean, he turned up the heat physically, and he turned up the heat spiritually. For some of us, I pray that the heat's turned up on you right now. Men, you want to lead your family to Jesus, you got to know Jesus. You can't lead them to someone you don't know. And wives, you got to submit to that and you got to follow. And I know sometimes roles are reversed where women are leading their families to church. Okay, I get it. Sometimes that happens. But men, there's got to be a change. There's got to be a change. You know, right now, there's so many kids without fathers. So many kids without fathers. They're checking out. Dads are checking out. Don't give up, guys. Men, don't give up. We're going to talk more about this. I'm going on a rabbit trail. Let's look at Genesis, okay? Because this was our camp verse. Love this. Genesis 1, 27 says, so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God, and he created them what? Male and female. There's no other way. So when we talk about the godly marriage, it's between man and woman, husband and wife. That's how God created us, male and female. And I'm just preaching what God's word says. And there's no other way around it, that's the godly marriage. And so when we talk about the wife submitting, the wife is equal to her husband in her being. Because both of them are made in God's image, both of them. And then in verse 22, it says this, as to the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And I said this earlier, that husbands, you shouldn't be asking your wife to do anything that's unbiblical or ungodly. Do not be demanding your wives to be doing something that's against God's word. So when you, ladies, when you submit to your husbands, it's not submitting to do things that are unbiblical, ungodly. It's because your husband is following the Lord. But what if the wife has better leadership qualities than her husband? That happens. Let's just be honest. It happens. There are some things my wife has better leadership qualities than I do. She is able to do some things that I can't. And I mess things up. And when I watch her lead, it's a beautiful thing, especially in ministry areas. When she was in children's ministry, when she doing stuff like that in our junior high ministry, when I watch her lead out those things. But my wife knows that there's a line that we draw in our family where she knows that she's not going to lead me into something, that she places me there in leadership in our family. So just because she's stronger in leadership doesn't mean that I have no, as a biblical man in our marriage, doesn't mean I have no say-so in which direction our families need to go. And that's where the submit comes in. So what if the wife has better leadership qualities? What if they're, they talk better? What if, just go down the line? Well, I'm going to just give you this illustration. My dad drove 18-wheeler trucks all his life, since I was little. And that's a hard living, because he's away from home. But in the summertime, I get to go with him. And man, he had this awesome rig as he was working. This 18-wheeler was that he had, this truck that he had all these fancy gadgets, had all these lights in it. And I'm in there as a kid checking it out. And as I got into sixth grade, I believe, he asked me, hey, you want to come with me? I'm going to Colorado. I'm taking something up to Colorado. You want to come with me? I'm like, yo, yeah, that'll be cool. Because now we're going up the mountains and all that. And so he had a sleeper on it. So when I got tired, I just jumped in the back and went to sleep. But he kept on going. You get what I'm saying? How many of you have not been in a big 18-wheeler truck? Like, have not? All right, cool. All right, so now this big old truck, but you've seen them. They're kind of bullies on the roadway, aren't they? Yeah, aren't they? They just kind of move in on you. Am I right? They had done it to me all the time, but I watched my dad do it too. I said, Dad, you're about to hit them. Oh, they'll stop. I was with them. I said, Dad, watch out. Oh, they'll move over. And he just keeps on going. I was like, oh, my gosh. And then we're going up a mountain in Colorado, and I looked down. I said, Dad, we're going to fall. I said, I'm seeing the back of the truck because it's windy going like this. I'm like, oh, my gosh. We're about to die here. And so a big rig, they don't always have the right of way, right? They don't always have the right of way, especially when they're merging into traffic. And so all these little cars, the rest of us, what do we have to do? We have to yield sometimes, right? We have to yield the right. And those trucks are navigating through these highways. And if they're not careful, there could be a major accident. It could be major. God as creator has placed a husband on the highway and given his wife a yield sign. Think about that. God as creator has placed his husband to direct his family through this highway of life, and he's given our wives a yield sign to say, hold on, that's his job to lead. Hold on, that's his job to lead. Well, does that mean I can, as a wife, does that mean you can't argue? No, that's in your DNA, I think, you know, is to argue. I mean, to bring it up. You don't like something, you know. Does this mean your wife can't disagree with the husband? Absolutely not. There's going to be disagreements. Look at verse 24. Now as the church submits to Christ, so wives are to submit to their husbands, and it says, in everything. But it doesn't mean you can't have disagreements. It means God has placed husbands in a position that is to be honored. And a kingdom wife is to have that respect, going to verse 33. Now let's talk about our husbands, okay? Our husbands. Men, you have to learn. And I'm just going to say this. Kingdom husband must love his wife. It's the next point. But I didn't realize this until about a month ago when I heard my pastor say this. And it really spoke to me. That if I want to love my wife like I should biblically, I have to learn to love myself as a husband, as a man. Get what I'm saying? Guys, we're hard on ourselves. We're tough on ourselves. We carry a lot of baggage. And you know what? We could play it off. We'll sit and stand around the fire pit and grill all day long and laugh and cut up. We'll have grace meetings. I know I have a lot of grace brothers in here. At my church, I have some awesome men that I'm around. But I have to learn to love myself so I can love my wife. I have to trust God. Let's go to verse 28 in this passage. We're going to jump forward a little bit and then jump back. Look at verse 28. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. I need to love myself before I can love my wife the right way. How do I do that? That means I need to submit to God. If you want your wife to submit to you, you have to submit to God. And there are some things that you need to throw at the feet of Jesus. There are some things, there's some healing in your life. You've carried some things with you far too long, men. And guess what? It's affecting how you're loving your wife because you can't even love yourself because of the mistakes and stuff you've done in your past. Let's just think in our marriages, all the stuff that's happened. I know there's been hurt, and we've hurt our wives. And there are some things that you can't even forgive yourself. And there's times that I wake up and I look in the mirror and I don't like the man that I am. And that's happened before, very recently. And I'm reminded that God loves me just the way that I am. And I'm reminded that he loves me. And I'm reminded I'm going to make mistakes. But I'm also reminded all I have to do is submit to the Lord. And when you submit to the Lord, you have to bow down to the Lord. Because men, you're not Lord over your household. God is. And you have to place, just like your wife has to put you in that position, you have to place God in that position. You have to place the Lord where he belongs, the Lord over your house. See, the same concept goes in our church. Churches all over. And I'm knocking churches. I mean, I hope I'm not, but if I am, if someone gets their feelings hurt, they do, okay? It's just, it happens. So many churches rely on our women because men don't step up. Because God designed the church, designed our families, designed the church after our families. He designed our families for man to be the head of the household, trusting in the Lord, and our wives to follow us as he leads our family. And the church in the same way, that's the way it's supposed to go. Right now, there's the Baptist conventions going on, and there's huge debate about women pastors. Well, I know for a fact in God's word, it calls men to pastor. Come talk to me afterwards, and I'll show you if you don't believe me. That's God's word. Not my design, that's God's design. And if I want to do it the right way, I got to submit to God's will, even if I don't understand it. When I get to heaven, we'll ask God. But there is a way. And when things get reversed in our families, that's when things get confusing. And God's not a God of confusion. We take the confusion out and follow Jesus and do it the way that he's always taught us. And submitting to him. But men, we have to learn to love ourselves. If we want to love our spouse, to love our wives the right way. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ has loved the church and gave herself for her and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to represent the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. This is a beautiful passage. There are some things I want people to know about my wife. I'm going to tell you what. I love when my wife leads out, I go to work and I see a UPS driver, I see other ladies who work there and they're struggling. I say, hey, can I give your number to my wife? I want her to reach out to you. And that's happened a couple of times. I love how my wife is committed to the Lord. But as men, do you know that it's our obligation to present her to others, holy and blameless? You get what I'm saying? When we said yes to her, when I said yes to my wife, I said yes to everything about her. And that's how I present her. I don't do a very good job of that all the time. I don't. Man, if there's one thing I mess up, it's that right there. But sometimes we throw up the past in people's face, and guess what? It just blows up, and it's blown up in my face a bunch. And that's how we're supposed to present our wives. We're not supposed to be a dictator, but we're supposed to show biblical headship. Here's what that means. Being a responsible governing authority. Leading your family in the kingdom of God, men. That's who we are. Let's keep reading here. We're on verse 27. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. You see that? In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. We talked about loving ourselves. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, so we are members of one body. From God's perspective, a woman's love and respect is a response to her husband's salvation and love he gives to her. Do y'all get that? Her love and respect is a response to her husband's salvation. Think about that. And men, I just want to just tell you right now, today's Father's Day. You know, we have a Heavenly Father. And Brent talked about that Heavenly Father. In order to lead your family, you have to know Jesus. If you want to lead the way God wants you to. Man, you could be sitting here saying, I suck as a dad. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that word in church. Sorry. But it is what it is. You can tell you, man, I suck as a dad. I suck as a husband. The shame and guilt that you carry around, you don't have to carry it. And here on Father's Day is a perfect time to give that up. To give that to our Heavenly Father. I remember when I was saved. I was a young man, teenager. My pastor looked at me, and he asked me if I was going to heaven. And I said, well, I don't know. He asked me, would you like to know? He gave me his testimony. He gave me his testimony of what happened to him when he was younger. And I don't remember all the details, but all I remember is I related to him. Basically, here it is, that he's a sinner, and we're all sinners. And for that, wages of sin is death. I know that when I hear that word death, we're all going to experience death, a physical death. But you don't have to experience the spiritual death. You don't have to. You can experience salvation. There's one student here that did that at camp. She walked from death to life in one night because of a decision she made. And my prayer for her is that she follows Jesus everywhere she goes, but she's going to have a rough time. How many Christians here have had some rough marriages? We've had some lives. It's not a piece of cake. But guess what? We have a Jesus that can lead us. And men, women, whoever's here listening, for the wages of sin is death, but there's a gift of God. That little word, B-U-T, in the Bible, thank you, God, for butts, right? In the Bible. B-U-T. Because when you read that, there's always a promise that comes after that. But the gift of God, right, is salvation. The gift of God is Jesus Christ. If you want to love yourself, women, you have to love yourselves also to love your husband. You're sitting here and you're saying, man, I've never experienced this. I've been playing church. There are a lot of people who play church. There are a lot of people that think they're going to heaven. Quit playing the game. And you know, this church, we need each other. You need this church. Dad, maybe you got drug here today. Huh? Maybe you got drug here to church today. You didn't really want to come, but they drug you to church. That's all right. I'm glad you're here. Because Jesus has divine appointment with you. And today, on Father's Day, you can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and meet your Heavenly Father. And if that's you, I pray that you're willing and you're bold to do that. I'll be here and I could pray with you. A kingdom marriage must place Christ at the centerpiece. As the band comes up, I want to share this last little bit to you. Is that if we're going to live a life following Christ, and if our marriages, if you want to make an impact in this world, the first decision you need to make is to Jesus. Putting Christ as that centerpiece isn't just going to church. The decision is, I'm going to make Jesus my Lord over my life. I'm going to make him Lord over my marriage. I'm going to allow him to lead me as I lead my wife. Wife says, I'm going to respect my husband and then put him there as he follows God. And I'm going to pray for him. As I look out and I see my wife sitting here, one of the coolest things that I know about my wife is that she prays for me while I preach. And I feel those prayers. And when I say it's difficult to talk about marriage in front of her, it's because I know that there's been hurt in our marriage. But I am confident I can stand here and talk to you. Why? It's because she loves me unconditionally. Not like Jesus, because we can't do that, but she loves me unconditionally. She knows I'm not perfect. And so many times, I'll say this, and maybe you need to do this during invitation, and I encourage you to. Is that if you need to go to your spouse and wrap your arms around your husband and wife and just say, forgive me, I'm sorry, this is a good time to do that. You know how many times I've said, man, I screwed up. I'm going to confess something to you. Yesterday was a long day on a softball field. And man, I was a little irritated. And something happened and I was kind of hard on Olivia, and then this morning I was like, oh, why did I say that? Why did I say that? And guess what I had to do? I had said, hey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And she says, yes, Dad, I love you. Huh? That's what I needed to hear. I'm going to tell you this right now. You can do that this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. God, there's marriages in this room, Lord, that need you. None of us are perfect. Man, none of us, God, we're all sinners. We're going to let each other down. But your design of marriage, Lord, is so beautiful. And we may not get it. This world tells us that this world disagrees with us, tells us the opposite. But Lord, I pray for husbands and wives, Lord, that wives, we learn to submit and respect our husbands, and husbands to love. But first and foremost, Lord, that we put our faith and trust in you and make you our centerpiece. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't know you, Lord, I right here on Father's Day, Lord, I pray that they come to know you. May they meet their Heavenly Father right now. Just going to church doesn't make them a Christian. But Lord, I pray that right now that as we get up and sing, that they give there's someone here that needs to give their life over to you, God. But Father, there could be someone here that just needs to hug their spouse and just talk a little bit. Just have a conversation. Just help us, Lord. Maybe there needs to be some forgiveness. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up and sing.